As I mentioned last week, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so, the one lesson is that he was committed to truth, but that's not the only thing that we can learn from Elijah. Elijah went through, right after he announced to Ahab that there was going to be a drought in the land, and was bold about it, the word of the Lord in verse number 2 of 1 Kings 17 came unto him saying, he comes out of nowhere, we don't know any family background about him, we know he's a Tishbite, that's about it. He walks into Ahab's office uninvited and he tells him, trouble's coming, drought's coming. And he gives that announcement to Ahab, and the Lord speaks unto him and says, okay, now go hide. Wait a second. I'm a prophet. Lord, you've called me to speak forth truth. What am I going to speak forth truth to? The trees? He tells him to go hide by the brook Cherith. Pick up reading in verse number 2 of 1 Kings chapter number 17. The Bible says here, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And notice how it ends here, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Verse 2 begins with that statement. Verse 8 ends with that statement. Look at your map briefly, and just point out a couple of things about the life of Elijah. You see over on the left side, or the right side of the map, as you're looking at it, there is south of the Sea of Galilee, and to the right, the birthplace of Elijah, Tishbe. Do you see that? Everybody see that? And then you'll see just north of that, just up from that, you'll see the Cherith Brook. You see that winding around? And so we believe that he confronted Ahab on the other side of the Jordan, which would be Samaria, the region of Samaria. So as you're looking at your map on the left side, Samaria is where we believe verse number 1 took place. And in verse number 2, he's told to go to the brook Cherith. All right? Cross the Jordan River and go to Cherith. What did the brook experience mean to Elijah? If he's a man like us, and he is, then he went through experiences like us. This is the first experience we read about after he's confronted Ahab. And he's told to go to the brook. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, didn't like prophets. In fact, in chapter 18, if we went to the next chapter, looked at verse number 4, we find out that Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. And then Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, fed them with bread and water. Jezebel was out to get the prophets. He announced to Ahab, hey, there's a drought coming. The more that that drought set in, and the more dire the region became, Ahab probably would get more upset with Elijah. And so the brook experience for Elijah encompassed a number of things that I think we also face in our lives. This was the man that stood against the king. This was the man that said, hey, my God is going to dry everything up. And your God, Baal, that you pray for in order to get rain, none of those prayers are going to be answered. The God that I pray to is going to dry things up, and he's going to dry things up for 3.5 years. And as soon as he states that and walks out of Ahab's palace, God speaks to him and says, hey, time for a little turn in your life. Time to go through a brook experience. Get to the brook Cherith. Remember, Elijah's name means Jehovah is God. Now, at the brook, God's going to do some teaching and training and some revealing that indeed Jehovah is Elijah's God. You see, Elijah's life wasn't just about helping Israel to see that Jehovah is God, but Elijah's life was about learning himself that Jehovah was his God. And so the brook, God's command to go to the brook, is where God is going to teach Elijah in some unusual ways that Jehovah is God. Think about this. According to Deuteronomy 18, if a prophet spoke and it didn't come true, Israel is not to fear the prophet, right? Hey, don't listen to that guy. You don't have to worry about that guy. But if it comes true, you pay attention. Now think of Israel. Think of Ahab knowing that Elijah the prophet has forecasted a 3.5-year drought. And now it's starting to take place. No rain. Well, who's the one then that could deliver us from the drought? Elijah. Well, where's Elijah? We can't find him. We don't know where he's at. He's at the brook. There's some things we can learn from the brook experience. Number one, the need for direction. Okay, Lord, I put myself out on a limb with Ahab. He's not going to like what I just told him. Now what, Lord? Now what do you have for me? And Elijah, like us, was in need of constant direction in his life. He walks out of the king's office. Now what? Okay, here's what. Hey, does God guide us today, step by step? You know, he didn't sit down with Elijah and say, Elijah, I want to give you your life for the next 5 years. You're going to go to the brook for a couple years. You're going to go to Zarephath for a year and a half. You're going to go to Mount Carmel, and you're going to see all that. You're going to hear Jezebel's threat. You're going to want to die at the end of that. How would you like to hear everything at once? Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us everything at once? You know how He directs us? One step at a time. One day at a time. Direction. We all need His constant direction. Folks, may I remind you that if you walk according to your path, without any direction from the Lord, you're going to make a major mess of your life. And so am I. We need direction. The importance of the brook Cherith was that God spoke to him and gave him direction. And watch this. It leads to the next point here, that he obeyed what the Lord said. The importance of obedience. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. Now watch this. Every Christian here, this is not a mystery. It's not a mystery to know what God wants. It's not a mystery to find out what the next step is in your life. God communicates. God's an excellent communicator. God wants to direct our steps. All that has to happen is we have to be tuned in. And then we have to be willing to follow. Now, if I'm Elijah, man, I just forecasted this drought. I need to tell the people of Israel, they got to start worshiping the right God or things are going to get worse. I think I'm going to go to all the cities. I think I'm going to start door to door and I'm going to try to influence Israel, God's people, to live for Him so that they don't have to face judgment. Wonder if that was going through Elijah's mind. As he knows that this is coming. And God says, go hide. I don't think the brook Cherith would have been Elijah's maybe first pick, if I understand everything about Elijah. But Elijah did obey the Lord. He may not have understood it, but he obeyed the Lord. Verse number 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. By the way, he wasn't just getting the mind of God. He wasn't just getting an idea from God. Watch this. He was getting the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that is completely accurate. Then some of the young men, we've been talking about direction. How do you know the will of God? How do you know the next step? And I've shared some personal testimony with them of some major decisions in my life that had all kinds of factors in them. Pros and cons and complications and risk involved and all of that. And I've shared with them, you know what? In all of those decisions, when I've asked the Lord to show me from His Word, you know what? He has shown me from His Word and by His Spirit. Folks, God leads not through visions, not through feelings, not through circumstances. God leads through His Word. The Word of the Lord spoke. You say, well, he needed direction, true. He obeyed, that was important. But he also faced this feeling, the feeling of isolation. The feeling of isolation. And hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. You ever driven some of our back roads around here and seen creeks alongside of the road? And some of the roads I'd never been on before, and then I see evidence of a campsite right next to the road, out in the middle of nowhere, where nobody would ever really look for anybody, and they're camping out. Somebody's camping out there. I mean, there's evidence of a fireplace, and there's trash just on the ground, and it's in the boondocks. Of course, most of everything around here is in the boondocks. That's kind of the picture I get of what God told Elijah to do. Go camp by the brook Cherith. Hide thyself. No one could feel what Elijah was going through. Elijah could talk to no one about what he was feeling. He was hiding. He was by himself. Elijah was in hiding from Ahab and Jezebel. Do we feel isolated at times? Do we go through the brook experience and feel isolated? You bet. We do. We go through times where we feel isolated when we're in a life situation that no one else can relate to. Or at least we feel like no one else can relate to. We feel isolated when we're ill and we can't get out. We don't get to enjoy the fellowship that we used to get to enjoy. Believers feel isolated. We feel isolated when we're hurt and we don't want to be around others. Don't know if you've been there. I know I've been there. I'm generally a people person. But I have sensed times where I don't want to be around anybody. I'm facing something, I don't want to be around anybody. We feel isolated when we experience loss, and no matter what's around, it doesn't fill the void of our loss. And nobody can understand it. We couldn't even communicate it to someone. We feel isolated when we experience a new stage of life and it doesn't seem like anyone else is in the same stage that I'm in. Singles feel that way, don't you? Now, I'm not making light of that tonight. It's a very real feeling. Isolation's a very real thing. And the brook experience for Elijah was a path that he was going to have to go down and sense the real feelings of isolation. We feel isolated when something's happened in our lives and no one seems to care. That's real. Yet, God met him there. And God provided for him there. And God spoke to him there. We do not usually know how we are going to be fed in the midst of isolation until we get there. Elijah had no idea how he's going to eat every day until he got there. And when he got there, watch this, Jehovah proved he's God. And Jehovah proved to Elijah that he was his God when he was isolated. You say, preacher, why would I go through feelings of isolation? I suggest that it's for preparation. One writer wrote this, and I thought it was good. There has to be a Cherith before a Carmel. What was Carmel? Carmel was the mountaintop. Carmel was when he called down fire from heaven, defeated 400 prophets of Baal. He was on cloud 9. But Cherith was 2 years by the brook with nobody around. What was God doing? God was preparing him for the other stages of his life. Before there's a crown, there must be a cross. Therefore, if you're in Cherith today, a place where you're not in the limelight, a place where you might feel a little isolated, may I remind you that God does His preparatory work there for greater things that are around the corner. Cherith is necessary. God does His greatest work in our lives, watch this, during times of solitude, silence, loneliness. That's when God does His greatest work. Why? He has my attention. He has time with me. Don't always look at the time of isolation as a bad thing. There's good that comes out of that. Fourthly, he was in the position of complete dependence. He didn't have a Walmart 2 minutes away. Neither was he sitting on a chunk of cash to be able to provide for himself. He had nothing. Lord, where am I going from here? You're just going to the brook. Yep. You'll drink from the brook. And then every day, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to ride in the morning through the raven. And in the evening, watch this. You study ravens. Ravens don't feed their own. They forsake their own. In fact, in Job 38, it talks about young ravens crying for their food. So the raven that wouldn't even take care of its young now is dropping food off for Elijah morning and night. You know what God was saying? I can provide for you naturally. Brook. Drink of the brook. But watch this. I can also provide for you supernaturally. I'm going to bring a raven by in the morning. And I'm going to bring a raven by in the evening. Now watch this. I want you to think. I want you to put yourself in Elijah's shoes. First day at the brook. Okay, Lord, I know what you said. When's this going to happen? He sees the raven in the distance. Comes and drops off the food. Well, the Lord meant what he said. Comes evening time. Lord, I believe it's going to happen. I haven't seen it, but I believe it. My faith's stronger than it was this morning because I'd never seen it happen. Now it's happened. Huh. It happens in the evening. Next day, happens. Next day, happens. Next day, happens. For 2 years, it happens. Then he's told to go to Zarephath. And Zarephath, what's the issue at Zarephath? No food, right? She's down to the bottom of the barrel, literally speaking. You think Elijah had any faith? Watch this. To encourage the widow's faith because of what he went through at Cherith? Do you think that Elijah had any doubt going to Zarephath with the woman that was so poor that, man, she didn't even know how she's going to provide for her and her son? Having been through what he'd been through day after day after day for 2 years, here comes the raven. Morning and evening, here comes the raven. Now watch this. Hear me. Close with this truth. The brook experience is not just for your faith to increase that Jehovah is your God. Watch this. There's a widow somewhere in the future. There's another believer somewhere in the future. There's an unbeliever somewhere in the future that's going to need somebody to come along and say, you know what? God is faithful. And I have seen it. Don't worry. God's going to take care of you. Church, isn't that what we do with each other? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to edify. We're supposed to build each other up in the faith. And so what do we go through? We go through brook experiences. I have no idea what God's doing. I have no idea how God's going to provide. I'm at the brook. Lord, you said. Oh, here comes a raven. And then somebody else goes through something and their faith is shaken like your faith was shaken. And what are you able to do? You're able to come alongside of them and say basically this, you know what? Jehovah's my God.
And this is what God did for me. And I know God's going to take care of you. And God used Elijah as a bastion of faith. But watch this. He had to go through the brook experience to be used like that. Elijah's a man like us. Truth of the matter is, there are people in this church going through brook experiences. You don't know what's coming next. You don't know why you're where you're at. You don't understand the trial that you're in. There's a lot of things you don't understand. And I'm saying tonight, we learn from Elijah. Hey, watch this. It's for me. God's going to show that he's my God at the brook. And God's going to help me to lift somebody else up in their faith. And tell them from my experience, I know that Jehovah will provide for you. He did for me.